In Sanskrit, ruda means a boundary or a limitation. And a or ni negates. Just like sometimes, you know, to call them philosophers is obviously rather generous. But some individuals say that the supreme, the absolute truth has no form, no qualities, because of this phenomena of nirgun. Nirguna, guna means qualities. Ni means there's none. So they think because Krishna is nirguna, he has no qualities, the impersonalists. But what it actually means is, it means he has no material qualities. That's what it actually means. So, nirguna, adharma means religion, right? Dharma means religion. Adharma means that which is not the path of true benefit for human beings. So ani, when you have ani, it completely negates it. So it means there's no question of Krishna having any limitation. It's also actually Aniruddha was Krishna's grandson in Krishna's Leela. His son was Prajumna. He had many in Dwarka. He had 16,108 palaces and the same amount of wives. And each wife, I think, had 10 children. Not even King Yudhisthira could remember all the family. There were millions of children, grandchildren. They ran into the millions. Of course, don't forget, Krishna doesn't get old, right? It's not like, you know, he stops his leela at a certain point because, you know, his body's not up to it anymore or anything. No, he's completely transcendental. Nirguna. No material qualities. But, of course, the source of all spiritual qualities. So, anyhow, this is the... in the temple, we've been doing the Path of Perfection lecture series. And is this loud enough? Can everyone hear? Because it doesn't sound very loud. The topic for today, which I was given, was yoga for the modern age. So therefore, for this discussion, to facilitate this discussion, we will read from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 2, which is entitled the Contents of the Gita Summarized. And we will read from text number 50. Translations and purports are, of course, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki! So everyone can fold their hands in pranam mudra, and while meditating on the beautiful forms of Shishi Radha Gokulananda, we can chant this prayer after myself. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhukti yukto jahati ha ube shukrita duskrite tasmad yoga yayuj jaspa yoga karma sukoshalam. Translation. A man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad reactions, even in this life. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. Everyone can repeat this verse, the words of Lord Krishna. A man engaged. Okay, let's look alive. Enthusiasm is the key to spiritual understanding. A man engaged. In devotional service, rids himself of both good and bad reactions, even in this life. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Please listen very attentively. Since time immemorial, each living entity has accumulated the various reactions of his good and bad work. As such, he is continuously ignorant of his real constitutional position. One's ignorance can be removed by the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, which teaches one to surrender unto Lord Krishna in all respects and become liberated from the chained victimization of action and reaction, birth after birth. Arjuna is therefore advised to act in Krishna consciousness, the purifying process of resultant action. Om Agnati Vrindasya Gananjanan Shalakaya Chaksuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Bukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Lange Te Gadim Yad Kripa Tadaham Vande Shri Gurum Vinataniram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pachanire Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pastichadi Shatanire Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jinabhutale Svayam Rupakaramayam Dadati Svavadantikam Vandaiham Shri Guru Shri Yitparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Saravetam Savadutam Parijina Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Anvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Mrisabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhayevcha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So yoga for the modern age is the requested theme. So very interestingly, it's probably a good idea if we begin by discussing what these two words actually mean. Yoga, for example, everybody's heard of yoga. Is anybody in this room not heard of yoga? Everybody's heard of yoga, right? But the question is, what actually is it? Is yoga performing some bodily gymnastics on Wednesday night in the local community centre with the idea of improving the physical condition, losing a bit of weight, gaining more energy? Of course, this physical aspect of this practice might be beneficial, but is what that yoga really is? Is it? I mean, what does the actual word yoga mean? Who knows what the actual... Perhaps if you know, maybe you can let... What does the actual word yoga actually mean? Who knows what it actually means? I mean, do we realize we're actually practicing yoga? How many people come into Bhaktivedanta Manor and come up to us and say, do you do yoga here? Our entire life is yoga. But you won't catch us standing on our heads, generally. So, what does the word yoga actually mean? Connection. Any other ideas? Linking up with the Supreme. Anybody have any other ideas? Anybody disagree with that? Okay, so that looks like there's a whole package involved there. You get the best of... Yet it is a fact that we, at this moment in time, are made up of three, you can say, constitutions, isn't it? We have a material body, which is pretty obvious, right? And what's that material body made out of? It's made out of water, yep. Air. Everybody breathes, hopefully. Huh? Earth, we all have bones and skin, right? Turns into dust someday.
Fire,
yeah. Ether. The ether. Yes, we all have fire in the body. Hopefully everyone has a body temperature. Right? Air is obvious, water is obvious, air is there. The ether. The earth is very interesting, isn't it? The ether, of course, we all have a physical body, but we all have an ethereal body as well. That Krishna describes is made out of the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego. The mind being one of the major functions, perhaps the main function of the consciousness, is something called the mind. Big discussion in yoga, because actually the entire yoga system revolves around controlling this faculty, actually. One who has an uncontrolled mind will never achieve perfection in yoga. In fact, one with an uncontrolled mind will find it very difficult to make even material progress. So yes, we have a subtle body. There are certain individuals who have to live in this material world without a physical body. They just live in the subtle body. Right? We call them bhuta in Sanskrit, or they're called ghosts in English. They have a subtle body, but they don't have a physical form, but they live in this ethereal substance, which is like a subtle material interspace between the physical manifestation. And then, of course, we have the real body, the real soul, the real self, which is, of course, in Sanskrit is called the Atma, or in English we call it the... So we have three... Material body, earth, air, water, fire. Subtle body, the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. And the actual spiritual true self, which is... Which qualities? Three qualities. Sat, Chit, Anand. Sat means eternality, Chit means knowledge. Anand is that elusive stuff called happiness. Bliss. So yoga... The practice of yoga... The benefits of the mental peace and the physical health are actually the side effect. They're not, although there is definitely benefit there, it is not the ultimate goal of yoga is actually the spiritual body. The soul is actually the goal of yoga. Understanding what is the soul. And yes, the word itself, translated into English, actually means to connect, to join together. Now, what are we joining together here? It means to understand who and what is the soul. Who is the supreme soul? God. God, just like we are all, Krishna says in the very beginning of this book, isn't it? That every single one of us is an eternal individual. Sometimes, not understanding the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, or misinterpreting the Bhagavad Gita, some paths. Advise us or try to inform us that after this body's gone, the individuality is gone. We're all one. Anybody ever heard that before? In the modern New Age philosophy, they'll say, I am you and you are me. Right? We're all one. We're all connected. I am you and you are me. And does anybody agree with that? If I am you and you and me, everyone, you can just come at the end of class and give me your wallet. Doesn't matter if I've got the money or you've got the money, because I am you and you and me anyway, so maybe I should just collect all the wallets at the end of the... Right? You see, we might hear this philosophy, but hardly anyone ever follows it, because you can't. Right? I'm not you, and you are not me. Right? If you've got an earache... My knees are aching, which they're not. Do you feel it? No. We're all individual. Krishna says. And this individuality is not the body. This individuality is not the physical body. This individuality is not the subtle body. The individuality is actually the spiritual body. The soul. And... the process, you see, what we call religion in the West, they call yoga in the East. Religion means, or at least, it's meant to mean, understanding I am an eternal individual. Understanding who is the supreme individual, Krishna. Understanding what is my relationship, not just for the next week or two, but permanently with God, and how to act in this relationship. This is called yoga. Now, there are different varieties of yoga, just like there is the Ashtanga yoga or the Sat Chakra yoga, isn't it? Where the Ashta means what? Eight. Anga means the limb. A limb, actually. Like Gauranga. A name for Krishna is Gauranga, and his avatar of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means one who has golden form. His anga, his forms, his arms, his body. Is golden, appearing like a golden, transcendental golden mountain. So there are different. The first process of this Ashtanga yoga is called asana. Of course, we all need to be in a good asana, we all need to be in a good position. Just like right now, everybody is sitting in front of Lord Krishna. You're at Bhaktivedanta Manor, the home of Lord Krishna. You're in Krishna's living room. You have access to the holy name. You have access to Krishna's prasadam. You have access to Krishna's devotees. You have access to Krishna's holy book. This is a very good asana, isn't it? It's a very good position to be in. In fact, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada used to say, he used to teach the devotees and still does through his books and his lectures that we still have, that the kirtan, the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, is the safest place to be in the material world. So what better asan, what better position could you have than this information? And then of course after that there's pranayama and dharayana and all the different, up until samadhi, all the different processes. Of course, pranayama is good for the body and the mind, but unfortunately you will not go back to the spiritual world simply by pressing your nose. It is not going to happen. Because the idea of steadying the mind is samadhi, means steady mind. Why do we want samadhi? It's so we can fix it on something, right? You steady the mind so you can engage it. Because the mind always has to be engaged. Some yoga teachers say you have to stop thinking, stop the mind, stop desires, but you can't. Because that's who you are. There is a false ego, of course, but there is also a real ego. And that means we always are desiring something. We're always thinking about something. We're always willing, desiring for something, isn't it? If you desire to have no desires, it's still a desire, isn't it? In essence, still. So the idea is that we achieve this frame of mind to fix it upon Krishna. And this is really the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. Everybody's heard this word Krishna consciousness, isn't it? This is actually the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, throughout his commentaries to this book, The Crest Jewel of All Spiritual Wisdom. Why is this Bhagavad Gita considered the crest jewel of spiritual wisdom? Why? Anybody know? Because it comes from India? But it doesn't come from India. It comes from Krishna. When Krishna appeared in India, India didn't exist. It wasn't called India. It's called something else. So they think that Krishna's Indian is a misnomer. It's not correct. He's not Indian. He's God. Aham bija pradapita, Krishna says. It doesn't say, where in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say I'm a Hindu god? Where? Nowhere, because it isn't. Hindu is not Sanskrit even. Right? Aham bija pradapita. 5,000 years ago, that tract of land we now call India was called Bharat. It wasn't called India. So Krishna's not Indian. Now we think he's Indian because now that tract of land, some thousands of years later, we call it India, and therefore everything comes from there must be Indian, including Krishna, including the Bhagavad Gita. Well, there's a difference between spiritual and Indian. Right? Transcendental means the spiritual place where Krishna lives is beyond any material place, including Watford or Bombay or Hertfordshire or UP or whatever it may be. This is simply a material designation. Aham bija pradapita. Aham means me. Bija means what? What does bija mean? The seeds. Aham bija prada. What does prada mean? Given. Or the praja. Praja means the citizen, actually. Just like sometimes, yeah, it means progeny. You know, from the seed comes the progeny, right? Yes? So he's the giver of all the progeny. Prada. Pita means what? Father. So praja, just like, for example, sometimes this word Pradapita. Sometimes in the Western Hemisphere, we hear people argue, because obviously Krishna consciousness, all the devotees, we're all vegetarian, pure vegetarian. So sometimes people argue that, well, God gave us dominion, isn't it? Has anyone heard ever that before? God gave us dominion over all the kingdom, the animal. Which means he has granted us with a higher level of consciousness and therefore a higher level of intelligence than the animal kingdom. Therefore we have dominion over. Has anyone heard this concept before? Christian concept. Yes? Right. So first thing is, he's given us a higher consciousness, but are we actually using it? Right? That's the first thing. So it's like, for example, the animals eat and sleep and mate and defend. If all we do is use this higher consciousness to eat, sleep, mate and defend, then according to the Vedic scriptures, we're no better than the animal. You might be eating in a restaurant that's revolving around the top of a building, and the dog might be eating off the floor in the alley, but the enjoyment is the same, right? You may be sleeping in a big four-poster bed in an elaborate residence. The dog is sleeping next to the dustbin, or the cat is under the edge, but when you are asleep, you are asleep. You do not know where you are. So therefore the dog is enjoying the same as you. Only difference is the dog doesn't have to work 50 or 60 hours a week like an ass to achieve it. Now there's nothing wrong with working. But so that's the first thing. So we've been given this higher consciousness. So the first thing we have to question is, are we actually using it properly? The higher state of consciousness in human life is not meant so, you know, we think because, you know, well, the animals are eating off the ground and we're eating in a big posh restaurant, we think we've made advancement in human life, isn't it? Just like in India, I think in, is it Delhi, they've got an underground system? I've had it for some years, is it? Anyway, we make some underground system, and we think we become very advanced. But as A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami pointed out, the rats, they've also got an underground system. Right? And it's older than yours, and it's more elaborate. So just because you create some art doesn't mean you've advanced. Doesn't mean we're advancing as a human society. Just as we got trains under the floor. The rats are also tunneling under the floor. Doesn't make... Right? So this icon... And then of course they argue, well, you know, we can do what we want to every other living entity because we've got... You see, the word dominion comes from the word domus, which means king. So, the idea is that God has made us the king of the citizens so we can go around killing them and torturing them and eating them. Right? Wrong. Do you think that all merciful, loving God, who according to that doctrine loves us all so much, has made every living entity, not just, this Krishna says everybody, doesn't just say the manusya, the man, as that all-merciful, loving God made us the king of the citizens? The praja. That's what praja means, this thing, that the citizens. The animals are also the citizens. They also live here, no? They're also God's praja, according to Krishna here. So does this all-merciful, loving God who loves every living entity so much has made us the king of the praja, the citizens, so we can go around torturing and killing them? Is that the symptom of love? Is that the symptom of compassion? Is that the symptom of mercy? I don't think so. Right? So that's the praja ham bija prada pita. Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. Therefore, the process of yoga is given by God. It's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharmam tu shakshad bhagavat pranitam. Dharma means dharma, right? Our eternal occupation. What you're doing now is not eternal. Anything based on this material body is not eternal. My job, my family, my, you know, possessions. It's all based on the body, which is temporary. Dharmam tu shakshad. Shakshad in Sanskrit means direct. Something that is direct. Dharmam tu shakshad bhagavant pranitam. Given. So it means that the real system of religion, or a genuine system of yoga, or in other words, one that's actually going to work, one that's actually going to give you the correct definition of what yoga is, and what the goal of yoga is, and the process of how to achieve it, is dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. It is given by Bhagavan only. A genuine system of yoga is given by God, is not man-made. That's called apurushaya. Apurushaya means that information that has come from a divine source. Just for example, the Bhagavad Gita, why is it the crest jewel of spiritual wisdom? Because it's shakshat, it's dharmam tu shakshat. It's given directly by Krishna himself. So one may argue with that, but the point is you have to take a leap of faith, otherwise you will never know. Right? You will never know. Dharmam. So that's the first thing. Yoga, therefore, can be described as a spiritual system which is given to humanity for understanding the Atma. Understanding who is the supreme Atma, who is God, who is Krishna. Understand who is God. That's the real goal of yoga, to understand who is God. And when we've reached this understanding, to act in that understanding, because that understanding is on the spiritual platform. Now our understanding is on the material platform. I understand I am white. I understand I am Indian. I understand I am black. I understand I'm 45 years old. I understand that, you know, I'm an accountant. I understand that I have a family. All this understanding is on the material platform. So, the real thing is, when we understand on the spiritual platform, it means we understand the eternal nature. Because Krishna is eternal, we're all parts and parcels of Krishna, which means we are co-eternal with him. So it means we live forever. This is the whole point. The real person doesn't end at the time of the body. So if we're going to live forever, a very good question to be asking ourselves, very good question to be asking Krishna, God, is what are we going to do forever? Because when you die and you go and you don't know what to do, you're going to be in trouble. Big trouble. Right? So therefore, real yoga means to begin that understanding, to begin that activity, and to begin that preparation for our eternal life. Again, in the West they call religion. In the East, they call it yoga. So that's what yoga is. It is a system of spiritual progress for the understanding of our relationship and activities with God, given by God, Lord Krishna himself. That is yoga. Just like at Bhaktivedanta Samana, there are different types of yoga, and the different types of yoga are usually designated according to the type of practice. Just like jnana yoga means perhaps someone is trying to understand intellectually. Right? Astanga yoga means someone's trying to understand, accept and understand this process by the eightfold yoga system of mysticism, mystic yoga. Of course, at Bhaktivedanta Samana, as mentioned by Lord Krishna, we follow a very high form of yoga. And that is called Bhakti Yoga. Now, what does Bhakti mean? Any girls here got the name Bhakti? Bhakti is means love and devotion in essence. Like Bhakti Vedanta Mana. Everybody comes to Bhakti Vedanta Mana. Do we actually know what Bhakti Vedanta Mana means? Bhakti means love and devotion. And Vedanta, what does Vedanta mean? Literature, yes? The end of... Yeah, Veda means knowledge. Just like the Bhagavad Gita is considered one of the most important books in the Veda. Veda means knowledge. And what does it mean again? Srila Prabhupada would often give a very simple example. Just say, for example, you go to a store and you buy an appliance for your home. A Hoover or a pressure cooker or something of that description. Now, with that appliance, you'll receive a manual with the purchase, isn't it? You'll receive a manual with the purchase which tells you what the product does, what its function is, what buttons to press, how to operate it, what it's for, its use, its purpose. Yes? So the Veda... A simple understanding of what the Veda is, it is a manual which is again Dharmantu Shakshat Bhagavat. Shakshat Bhagavat. It's a working manual given by God for humanity, for the human form of life, to explain to us what this thing is, what this human life, what this body is, what it's meant for, what its purposes is. And what you can achieve with it, what you can do with it. Just like, for example, in the Western world now, the Ayurveda is becoming popular, isn't it? Ayurveda, the science of natural health and medicine. In the Veda, everything is there. Art, war, politics, drama, dancing, cooking, warfare. Said that even the Germans, they used this body of knowledge to create battle strategies and bombs and all sorts of things. Even in Germany now, there's one very very prominent Sanskrit university school. I don't know the name. So, Bhakti Vedanta means that love and devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the end of all knowledge. It is the result of all knowledge, the end of all yoga. Bhakti Vedanta. That once we've accepted a body of knowledge, once we've understood this body of knowledge from God, means that love and devotion to the Supreme Lord should be the conclusion of your realization. Bhakti Vedanta. The process again is called yoga. Bhakti yoga therefore means we are in a relationship with God with love and devotion. And of course, if you looked up the word love in an English dictionary a couple of hundred years ago, it would have meant something you actually did. Not some, you know, floating emotion that comes in and out of the consciousness here and there. It means something you actually do for someone. A manifestation. Right? Activities. It's like in the spiritual world you have the gopas and the gopis. Isn't it? They're all existing and living with God Krishna on the basis of this devotion. The spiritual world means devotion. Therefore, if one wants to enter into this kingdom of Krishna, of God, through this process of yoga, one has to be what? A devotee. Without becoming a devotee, how do you expect to ever attain God? Krishna. Just like the example is there, we all love all children, isn't it? We are fond of all children, but whatever happens, we always have a special affection for our own, isn't it? Yes? Agreed? Natural. Natural. So Krishna, aham bija pradapita, is the seed-giving father of everyone. Yes. He loves everyone. But he has a special affection for his own. In this context, who are his own? The devotee. The devotee. Of course. So the topic is, how can we achieve all these things in the modern day and age? Because one could argue, well, you know, we're not living 2,000 years ago in India where everything was a bit more conductive. You know, we have to go to work every day and we can't all just sit up the Himalayas eating carrots and meditating, and we don't have time to stare at candles before we go to work and, you know, do all these... So what does this word modern mean? We've understood the context of the Veda. We've understood the process of yoga, the process of religion. So what does this word modern actually mean? Anybody got any ideas in this context? What does modern mean? You know, we're taking this process, we're taking this aim of human form of life by the process which is called yoga, given to us by Krishna, to understand who we truly are, to understand who he truly is, to understand our eternal relationship, which is the ultimate destination for every living entity, the source of all knowledge and happiness for every living entity. And we put it into a context called modern. What does this word modern actually mean? Sorry? Deformed? Oh, reformed. Beg your pardon. Reformed? You can say it's reformed. Modern, yeah, things. Generally, if someone says this is modern, up-to-date stuff, this is really the latest jazz, that means it's all been reformed and packaged and presented. The cutting edge gear here. Any other ideas? Reformed is a good one. Well, we talked about this body of knowledge called the Veda. And we can simply put that any sphere of activity outside the context of real knowledge is called modern. Modern has always existed. Any period, any phenomena, any phase of activity that is outside of Dharmam tu Shakshat Bhagavant is called modern. That's what modern means. So what we're doing here, yeah, reformed. So what's Krishna doing? He's giving us a yoga system, a perfect yoga system that is applicable to all living entities at all times, but it's particularly suitable for us in this Kali Yuga. That's another name for modern. In this modern, or this particular day and age, which is called Kali Yuga. And that yoga system is so perfect, so pure, so powerful. Because why? It is given by him. That anyone who practices it will achieve perfection. Krishna says, you have to have faith. How many times do people come in and say, I have faith in Krishna? What it means is, I have faith he'll make my business grow. Maybe he will. Doesn't mean you're liberated. Doesn't mean you're a yogi. Just because Krishna's blessed you with wealth, health and a long life does not mean you're going back to him. Don't make that mistake. Because that's different. He can give you anything material. That's not a problem for him. He can give you a whole universe to yourself if you want. It's not a problem for Krishna. He can give you anything, anything you want. What we ask for is insignificant. Dhruva asked for a whole planet. Krishna says, no problem. Well, okay, you can. It's called the pole star. He gave him the pole star. This is this planet. You can have this planet. It's your planet. It's worth more than the latest vehicle. It's worth more than any amount of money you can hope for. It's a planet. It's a celestial planet. And not only is it a celestial planet, it is the topmost planet in our universe. It's described in the Vedic literature how the pole star is at the top and all the other planets. Of course, in the West, they think the planets are sun. The stars are all suns, but according to the Vedas, they're all planets. And all these different stars, they hang from the pole star like a chandelier. They come down. So the pole star is at the top. So we gave Dhruva Maharaj, his devotee, yes, you can have this planet. Not a problem for him. So, faith in Krishna, sometimes you say, like, I was just discussing this with some people earlier on. You may have every type of material opulence granted by Krishna, and good luck, maybe he will. There's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't mean you're liberated. It doesn't mean you're in the liberated stage of life. In fact, it might even make you a more conditioned. That's why sometimes Krishna gives reluctantly. Right? Just because if I give you a nice gift, you may remember me from time to time, but it doesn't mean your whole life is going to revolve around me. Why should it? So just because Krishna grants you with a benediction or a boon or what we consider a blessing, doesn't mean the individual may necessarily revolve the whole life around him, which is what Krishna is asking us to do here. So what does it really mean to have faith in Krishna? It means to accept what he's saying. If Krishna says, Chan Hare Krishna, you'll come to me, real faith means it'll happen. Krishna says it. Dharmam tu shakshad bhagavatam. So, what yoga system, what is the process given by Lord Krishna for this particular phase, this day and age? Harinam Sankirtan. Golokera Premadan. Harinam Sankirtan. Prema means love. Dan means to give in charity, isn't it? Like you have Godan, Kanyadan, Anadan, Desperate Dan, right? Prema Dan. This chanting of Hare Krishna is a gift of love from the spiritual kingdom. And this is the perfection of yoga. Why? Because if we chant Hare Krishna, we can be with Krishna directly. No joke. No exaggeration. In fact, to consider the glories of the holy name of Lord Krishna to be exaggerated is a great offense to the Lord. It's not exaggerated. Krishna invests his full potency into this name. Just like if I said the name of your close friend, from the name of that close friend would become the image of your friend. We generally think in pictures, right? Yeah? And then from the image of that friend, the form of your friend, you can see what he dressed or she dresses like, who she hangs out with, what they like to eat, their likes, their dislikes, preferences. Everything about that person become manifest in your consciousness simply by hearing the name. If you don't hear the name, you'll not get the form, you'll not get the image, you'll not receive the rest of the information. So, by chanting Hare Krishna, by hearing the name, Shravanam Kirtanam, we can actually hear the name of Krishna. From the name of Krishna, Krishna will reveal his form. From the form of Krishna will become his abode, his associates. Everything about him is revealed. So this chanting of Hare Krishna is very important. It is the prescribed method given to us by the Lord. It is the yoga for the modern age, there's no question. So this is our request. If you please, just chant Hare Krishna. Take Krishna Prasadam. Study this great book. Come to the temple. Pay your pranams. Offer some savour to the deity. And what does Krishna say? At the end of this life, you can qualify yourself to return to be with him in the spiritual world. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.